It's time for the Money and Markets Flash Update from the team at James Investment Research. It's your daily financial briefing to help you keep more of your earnings and to make sure your investments are working harder for your family during these challenging economic times. Now, here's Roy Hatfield.
We thank you for joining us on Real Roots Radio, WBZI, WKFI, and WEDI, and streaming on the World Wide Web at realrootsradio.com. It is time for the Money and Markets Flash Update from James Investment Research, advisors to the James Advantage Funds, and relationship manager Neil Kraft joins us once again. Neil, great to chat with you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Roy.
Well, when we look at the markets last week, there's certainly a lot to review, so let's dive headfirst into that.
Yeah, as we reflect on last week, it was relatively quiet, but we saw positive numbers across our major indices, so we'd like to see that. The Dow was up 34 basis points, the S&P 500 up 39 basis points. The NASDAQ tech stocks up only 14 basis points, and the Russell 2000, those smaller cap names, were the big winners on the week, up 1.9%. As I mentioned, it was a quieter week. That's really with anticipation and the market's attention pulled ahead to this current week, the week of June 12th, which will receive the May CPI report and the June Fed meeting coming out. Corporate news was very thin at the very tail end of the Q1 earnings season, and there were only two economic releases of any note. May's ISM services index missed, with its employment component shifting into contraction and prices paid continuing to tick lower. There was a notable step up in weekly initial jobless claims, though continuing claims were well below forecasts. Filling the vacuum was a lot of commentary about the more momentous week to come. Of course, that's this week. May's headline CPI is expected to soften to a 0.2% month-over-month rise from April's 0.4%, with energy prices, lower food inflation, and seasonal factors among those drags. Core prices are seen holding at 0.4% month-over-month pace, with analysts seeing higher used car pricing as a driver. In terms of the Fed, market pricing currently reflects forecasts for the Fed to hold rates at the 5 to 5.25% level, though consensus expects this to be a skip rather than a full pause, with Powell speaking this week, possibly hinting that a July hike remains a possibility. Lastly, the uneventful week also left little scope for change to the broad market narrative. The bull case is still largely underpinned by expected disinflationary progress, the Fed at or near the end of its tightening campaign, soft landing hopes, earnings optimism, and positioning technical dynamics with more recently added factors, including broadening leadership. On the bearish side of the ledger are fears of hawkish central banks. The week saw surprise hikes from BOC and RBA, a dampened sentiment tailwind, some signs of softening consumer trends, and somewhat anemic China reopening momentum.
We're spending a few minutes with Neil Kraft on the Money and Markets Flash Update from James Investment Research, advisors to the James Advantage Funds. Neil, in keeping with the theme of the markets, there are some things coming this week that investors really need to keep their eye on.
Yes, sir. This week, the week of June 12th, are some pretty important releases for economic data on the markets that will certainly direct the near and intermediate future. With that being said, Tuesday, the Fed meeting will begin, that two-day meeting will begin, followed by the NFIB Small Business Optimism Index first thing in the morning, and then that'll lead into the CPI number for the month of May. Wednesday, MBA mortgage applications, PPI, the Atlanta Fed business inflation expectations, and the Fed will make their announcement at 2 p.m., followed by Jerome Powell having a press conference at 2:30. Thursday, initial jobless claims, Philadelphia Fed manufacturing index, retail sales, the Empire State Manufacturing Index, import and export prices and industrial production. That's all before 9:30 a.m. on Thursday. And on Friday, we will finish out the week with the University of Michigan consumer sentiment numbers.
Relationship manager Neil Kraft spending a few minutes with us on the Money and Markets Flash Update from James Investment Research, advisors to the James Advantage Funds. Neil, we wanted to go in a little bit different direction. When it comes to buying a rental property, getting involved with a rental property, what risk should investors analyze before jumping in head first?
Sure. Well, Roy, we're pleased to bring you a two-part segment on rental properties, owning them, buying them, what considerations to make. And yes, you're absolutely right. There are quite a few risks involved with such an investment. We'll start with the kind of landlord and overall risk management and some liability issues first. A lot of folks need to plan for tenant-related issues. You know, is that something that you as the investor and are willing to manage? Those, you know, distress, the confrontations, the potential evictions, late payment collection, screening, onboarding. There are third-party management companies all across the nation that specialize in that and are happy to take that off of your hands. Do you need to review any personal time management issues related to owning a rental property? For some folks, it's an additional investment, not their full-time gig. And, you know, understanding the degree of time management that may be required when owning that property and how that might differ between both short-term and longer-term rentals. Being cognizant of how other priorities for your time may affect your ability to manage this property and any potential challenges that could arise as a result, whether it be slow responses to requests, delayed repairs, poor reviews, frustrated tenants. You know, that snowball effect is definitely possible. And then considering your own limitations as a handyman or handywoman around addressing damages and performing repairs and determining if the cost is a required cost of getting that outside professional help to assist in your property management. And then do you need to check whether your property is compliant with current laws and regulations? A vast review of local and state zoning ordinances, building codes, record-keeping requirements, and other regulations that could potentially apply is definitely something that you want to have a firm grasp on before diving headfirst, excited about this purchase or continued owning of the property. As we shift into the insurance conversation, do you need to review your homeowner's and or landlord insurance for rental property? You need to be aware that there are differences in coverage between homeowners and landlord and how they apply to your situation. You probably but need to at least analyze if you need to carry both types if you both personally use and rent out your property. Check that your homeowner's insurance policy is up to date and covers 100% of any replacement cost or damage. Do you need to review additional ways to increase your liability protection? If so, consider maintaining adequate liability coverage through a personal liability umbrella policy. Furthermore, consider requiring tenants to carry and maintain renter's insurance as a part of one's lease agreement. Depending on your situation, consider purchasing supplemental coverage for any additional needs such as, and unfortunately, vandalism, burglary, or even under construction protection.
We're spending one more segment with Neil Kraft, Relationship Manager of James Investment Research, advisors to the James Advantage Funds. Neil, as you were talking previously about risk that you should analyze when it comes to buying a rental property, I was sitting there thinking, other than the obvious when it comes to profit, what else would determine if it would be worth it for you to get involved in something like this?
Sure. Well, when we look at rental properties as a part of one's total investment portfolio, we need to make sure it fits a lifestyle, a risk tolerance, and things such as that. So reviewing any cash flow issues regarding your rental properties, obviously at the forefront of that conversation, determining whether your rental income alone is adequate for covering all of those expenses, not including, of course, depreciation. It's an important consideration to keep a separate emergency fund away from one's personal portfolio to cover any unexpected expenses or potential disruptions to that rental income, whether it be a repair, perhaps a tenant vacancy, or, as we know, even a global pandemic. Do you need to review how your rental property sits within your overall investment allocation? Considering that percentage of your net worth is composed of your rental properties, be mindful of how this affects your overall diversification relative to your risk tolerance and investment goals. Do you need to review your rental property's return on investment, or your ROI? Considering adopting a thorough approach of how to calculate your ROI is a great practice. Being sure to factor in all expenses, which includes, of course, mortgage interest, insurance, repairs, fees, etc., and potential vacancies when evaluating annual performance. And then finally, do you need to review the amount you are charging for your rental property? If so, considering your location, right? That real estate term, location, 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 proximity to other local attractions. What are the quality of the public school system, entertainment, restaurants, and being mindful of the current pricing, of course, of other similar rental properties in your area, just really digging in and knowing the competition and market. We're excited to bring our estate planning specialist, Beth Handworker, in next week to discuss some tax-related LLC and estate planning issues also associated with buying and or owning rental properties. But yeah, James Investment, we're happy to talk through these things with you as a part of your entire wealth management. And you can find us at www.jamesinvestment.com.
Neil Kraft has been our guest on the Money and Markets Flash Update from James Investment Research, advisors to the James Advantage Funds. Neil, thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Roy.
The James Investment Money and Market Flash Update is presented by James Investment Radio, a service of James Investment Research. For more information, call toll-free 888-426-7640 or go to jamesinvestment.com.